Mr. Mayor, good morning. I bet you're an early riser every day.
I am. Good morning, and it's great to be here. And as I was saying during the break, this was one of those rare mornings where the entire household had to get up and out at the same time. So one bathroom, five of us, we've managed to get through it. I tell my kids all the time, between me and their aunts and uncles, it was 10 of us with one bathroom. So we survived it in the 80s. They got through it this morning, and here we are, WGN Live, Bob Sirott.
Nothing new for you, growing up in a household with nine brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You know, Mayor Richard M. Daley used to tell me that on the way to City Hall every morning, he'd be in the back seat writing notes to department heads about things he noticed, like garbage in the street or graffiti or potholes. Do you ever do that?
Well, now we text.
Sure.
Yeah. So now we text, right? So now we could get through it faster. And yeah, but you know what? On the way in or wherever I'm moving around the city, we certainly have our challenges, but the city of Chicago is beautiful. Many times I just admire the landscape, the skyline, the neighborhoods, the exits. You know, you pay more attention to a lot more items when you're the mayor of Chicago, but it is a beautiful commute, and I hope that everyone moves around this morning to get to their destination safely.
The more you travel, the more you appreciate what we have here.
Amen.
You ever have any free time? What do you like to do?
So, you know, in my free time, a couple of things, you know, whether it's reading or, you know, sometimes I'll spend some time just in prayer and reflection. But yesterday I had a little bit of free time, so I got a chance to see my oldest, who is a senior at Kenwood. I saw the first half of his soccer game, and congratulations to the Kenwood Broncos. They're undefeated in their conference. And then I left his game to see my 13-year-old play a baseball game. So I do get a chance to spend time with the family, spend time in prayer, reading, and sometimes I'll catch something on Netflix or Hulu.
When you go to those games, you got to be careful. You can't be one of those parents yelling and screaming at the officials.
Oh, no. I do that right away. I got to set the tone right away. This is Chicago. So as soon as I walk in, it's like, yo, ump. Come talk to me. Where are you from?
You're going to intimidate those referees. You taught social studies for a while in the Chicago public schools. Were you one of those progressive teachers? No tests, no homework, no grades?
I mean, there were a lot of group assignments. You know, of course, we had to assess, you know, children. You know, one of the things that I did enjoy when I taught the Constitution. And there's only one way and one pathway to high school in Chicago is you got to pass the Constitution. And really enjoyed doing that. What I try to do is use the different styles of learning. And so, you know, of course, you had standardized operations. You had, you know, short answers, essays. But sometimes we would, you know, incorporate art and music into the assessment of children. One of the best moments I've ever had teaching in Chicago, seventh grade, Long Road to Freedom. We read some excerpts from Nelson Mandela and did some comparing and contrast between Soweto and Cabrini Green. The kids really got a lot out of that.
So there was none of this talk from the kids, ooh, stay away from Mr. Johnson's class. You don't want to be in there.
Well, I mean, I think what they would say is, Mr. Johnson, don't play. So don't provoke him. They would say that. I mean, I think I was relatively fair, you know what I'm saying? But like any good teacher, you have to have some structure and some order and some discipline. And I think the kids enjoyed it. The fact that they're now in their 30s is very humbling now.
Yeah.
So now the students that I had have eighth graders in some instances. Yeah.
I want to get to what I think is the number one issue around here, public safety, because it also, as you know, has an economic impact on Chicago.
Yep.
Crime numbers may be down overall, but I think you'll agree they're still a problem, especially when we have those smash and grabs on Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. And with all due respect, Mr. Mayor, when some people hear you respond to high-profile crimes involving young people by saying we need more after-school programs and better neighborhood youth opportunities, they get mad. They want to hear what you'll do now.
Yeah. Well, look, I've always said it's accountability and opportunity, right? I mean, I take the same approach that when I was in the classroom. Of course, you hold students and young people accountable when they are working outside of the parameters of the structures that you've established, you know, but people do need opportunity. It's also very clear that there's a direct correlation between crime in communities and poverty, right? And so if you're not addressing poverty, then you're not really serious about addressing crime. And what do I mean by that? So 1974, since you brought up the Daley's, 1974, there were 970 homicides. 1995, there were over 800 homicides. 2016, same thing, over 800 homicides. 2021, 805 homicides, right? We've had, You know, no one believes, right, that that's an acceptable number. Right now, we're at 300. That's one homicide too many. Don't misunderstand me. But we are certainly moving in the right direction. People have asked, when I ran for office, what are you going to do in the short term and long term? And so we put forth strategies not only to hold people accountable through the investments in our Detectives Bureau, and now that our Detectives Bureau is communicating with counterintelligence and the departments are coming together, we have a clearance rate of almost 77%. So in other words, when people commit crimes, we hold them accountable. Just the incident that you just referred to, you know, this was a real tragedy, right? Someone lost their life, and we caught the individuals responsible. I'm in communications with my superintendent on a regular basis. We're going to have conversations with some business leaders around the loop to figure out ways in which we can be more preventative. But yes, there's more work to be done, but clearly we're moving in the right direction.
Three of those arrested in the Louis Vuitton smash and grab, ages 37, 26, and 22. So we're not always talking about young kids
here.
That's right. And when that happens on Michigan Avenue, that really goes to our image problem here in Chicago, doesn't it?
No, it does have an impact on our reputation, and we've worked hard to rebuild our reputation in Chicago. Look, we have been the punching bag of Fox News and right wing for a very long time. Now, I do appreciate how we are banding together to tell our real story. The fact of the matter is we've been voted the best big city in America 8 years in a row, 13 years in a row, number one relocator for corporate headquarters. Our hotel occupancy downtown, we're talking about pre-pandemic numbers. Same thing with ridership on our public transportation. Tourism last year, $20 billion infused into our economy. Chicagoland, our airport, particularly O'Hare, set and broke records. Bob, we are literally just points away from being ranked the number one, the busiest airport in the country. Now, look, I'm not saying that all of this has been easy. I'm saying there's a lot more work to be done, but we're going to build the safest, most affordable city in America, and we're going to do that together.
And then you have this 50-year-old Magmile business, Hannig's Footwear in the Hancock. They're closing, I think, in a couple of weeks, and Peter Hannig was quoted as saying, small businesses are no longer viable on Michigan Avenue. There are too many vacant stores on the avenue. What's your opinion on all that? What are we going to do about that?
We have to reimagine our downtowns. One of the things that we have to do is repopulate the city of Chicago, right? And so a year ago, we put forth an investment where we are reconstituting old office spaces and converting them into homes, of which 30% of them will be affordable. The way we actually rebuild our downtown is by repopulating the city of Chicago. Last year, for the first time in over a decade, we had population growth, right? 23,000 more people living in Chicago. I'm not saying that everything is perfect here, but Bob, I've been married for 27 years. Things don't have to be perfect in order for them to work. Ask my wife.
Tell me about it. We'll get a break in here now, and then we'll continue with Mayor Brandon Johnson. We'll get to property taxes, the future of Soldier Field, and more. Also, I will have some advice for you, Mr. Mayor, if you'll allow that.
I'll take it.
We'll do that when we return. The rugs at City Hall looking okay, Mr. Mayor?
They are. And, you know, appreciate the shameless plug there.
President Trump is saying again he's going to send the Guard into Chicago to fight crime. Have you changed your position on that?
No, we have not. There are no circumstances in which American cities should be occupied by federal troops. You know, as I've said before, there's work to be done here, but, you know, I think it's actually disrespectful to our local law enforcement. We have a 30% reduction in homicides. Robberies are down nearly 35%. Shooting victims are down. We had the fewest amount of homicides in the summer since 1965. I mean, we're talking 60 years. And if the president was serious about helping us fight crime, why did he cut 30% of the ATF's budget, right? We're talking about where the ATF and local law enforcement worked together to get over 170 guns off the streets of Chicago a month ago that were trafficked in from Indiana, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Since I've been in office, we've gotten 24,000 guns off the streets of Chicago. We need more help there. He would restore the $800 million to go towards community violence intervention. These are programs that actually work. These are investments that actually work. He should be working with mayors across this country to ensure that we build safe and affordable communities.
I do love the men and women of the Chicago Police Department. In so many cases, as you know, they're neighborhood people, and their fathers or grandfathers were on the force. I hear great things about the police superintendent, Larry Snelling. We want him to come in here. Would you ask him to come on our program here?
I'll put in a word for you, Bob.
Please.
You're being great.
We had a number of texts from listeners. Hmm. I'm going to read one because we have many that are similar in tone.
Okay.
Bob, our objection to going to Chicago is not because of crime. It has to do with the cost of taxes, parking, red light, and speed cameras. The suburbs are easier and cheaper. The only thing the city has that we don't are the museums. How would you respond to this person?
Well, first of all, our museums are great, but we also have theaters. We have all of the ballparks, right? I mean, we have the best restaurants. Like, look, you know, I've worked hard to make sure that we're making critical investments in people. In fact, we put together an entire working group to address the structural damage that has been done to our budget over the course of decades of just negligence, right? And what they discovered, and this was a collective group of business leaders, labor leaders, community-based organizations, elected leaders as well, and what they discovered was that the city of Chicago does not have a spending problem. We have a revenue challenge, right? There are a number of local ideas that could help us generate revenue and not continue to place the burden on working people. I'm going to put forth a budget that reflects those values. But, you know, if that person is interested in moving in the city of Chicago, I'll just say it like this. The average price of a home in New York is $1.1 million. The average price of a home in Los Angeles is $900,000, $4,500, $4,200 a month for rent. In Chicago, $250,000 to $375,000 gets you a home. Rent around $1,200. We're on pace to build 10,000 affordable units by the end of my first term. And so I would encourage that listener is to consider looking at Chicago because it is the greatest freaking city in the world.
Mr. Mayor, put on
and no disrespect to the suburbs. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's hope it stays that way. If you put the headphones on, you'll hear a couple of questions from our newsroom boys, Steve Grzanich and Kevin Wells. Steve, I know you want to ask about the property tax. Steve lives in the city.
Yeah, I do. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Thank you for
being
here. The Chicago Financial Future Task Force, which you helped put together, suggested that the city resume annual adjustments in the property tax tied to inflation. So that means if inflation goes up, so will your property taxes. Many Chicagoans have already been hit with higher property tax bills after the latest triennial reassessment. Falling commercial property values have also switched some of the tax burden to homeowners. What do you say to people who feel like they're being priced out of Chicago because of the property tax that just keeps going up and up?
Yeah, well, I'm not raising property taxes. I've made that very clear. I didn't do it in my first budget. Last year's budget, we had some very limited options, but we ended up not having to do it. And, you know, look, I've made this very clear. In order for us to continue to invest in city services, to make sure that we're investing in community safety, we have to have the revenue to do it. And I believe that the problem we have, and not just Chicago, but the state of Illinois, is that the ultra-rich do not pay their fair share in taxes. The average working family in the city of Chicago, the tax burden is almost 20%. Even for millionaires, it's about 11%. But for the ultra-rich, it's almost non-existent. Right. And so that's why our proposal is going to be a balanced budget that challenges those with means to put more skin in the game so that that burden that you're referring to doesn't continue to just be to be placed on the backs of working people.
So you'll reject that recommendation?
I will. I have already.
One of the headlines today, mayoral task force rolls out roadmap to erase city's $1.15 billion shortfall. Kevin, I know you have a question on that.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, thanks for joining us this morning. As much as I'd like to talk Cubs with you in the playoff
of
run.
Of course, sorry. One more game,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, right. Got to stick to the budget here. So the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. What does constitute as a spending problem? I think a lot of people would look at the $1.15 billion shortfall and immediately jump to the conclusion, well, what can Chicago cut? There's got to be something. So in this report that you got yesterday, if you've had a chance to read over it, What can you cut out? Can you give me some hard examples?
Yeah, sure. So there are some duplicative services that we do have, and we're going to use technology to get the city of Chicago to move into the 21st century in terms of government, right? And so there's ways in which we can streamline operations, hiring through HR. There are a number of instances in which departments are doing the same thing that we can concentrate into one lane, if you will. Of course, we're going to look at, you know, ways in which, you know, vacancies can be better structured so that we're just not sitting on positions that are not ultimately going to be filled. But again, I think part of it is ensuring that we're not, that government is more productive in how we deliver mm-hmm. services. And there are ways in which we can certainly update our systems to do just that.
A lot of people have questioned what you mean exactly by progressive revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but basically revenue that is generated where those with means put more skin in the game. Right now we have a flat structure, right? And so the tax burden is heavier on working people, right? Because if you're making $40,000, $50,000 a year, even if you're doing, you're at $75,000, $80,000 a year, and you're paying the same tax rate as someone who makes a quarter of a million, if not more, that burden is heavier on those who make less. And so, look, we put forth the proposal, and the governor, you know, put his own resources behind this effort, where over 73%, I believe, of Chicagoans voted for a progressive income tax. It's the right thing to do. It's one of the things that I believe that weighs our city and our state down. We have tourism that is coming here. Our airport is busier than it's ever been. We're building affordable homes downtown. We're still the top relocator for corporate headquarters. 20% of the world's fresh water is in our front yard, and we have one of the most diverse economies in the entire country, where not one industry comprises of more than 14% of the overall GDP. And so the one thing that we're lacking is, because we've had pension debt and liability and police settlements because of, you know, poor policing, that has weighed on the services of Chicago. And that's something that I'm going to correct, but we're bringing people together to help us do that.
Andy Mazur, you want to get in on this?
Yeah, I mean, we could probably do an hour on what's going on with the Bears these days. We'll avoid that for the time being.
Thank you.
With it being kind of a foregone conclusion that the Bears are going to relocate to Arlington Heights, nothing's been signed, obviously, yet, but have you thought about what might become of Soldier Field and what the use of Soldier Field will be here in Chicago?
Well, thank you for that question. Listen, I still believe that, you know, Soldier Field is the site for the Chicago Bears. I still believe that. You know, the governor has made it very clear, like, look, they have a lot of boxes that they have to still check, one of which they have to pay off the current stadium before the state would even consider offering up any support, if there's any to be offered. You know, but there are a number of people who are interested in that site. I mean, look, it's a beautiful location. You know, we're seeing that just with events outside of sports, how it attracts people from all over the country. I mean, you know, we saw the Premier League here with a doubleheader. When Beyonce comes to town, I mean, three nights in a row, Ed Sheeran, 100,000 people with a guitar. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's a beautiful location, and it's something that, you know, if the Bears decide that they're going to go off to the suburbs, we'll have offers and considerations for how to best utilize that site.
Okay, since you kept your promise to us and you came into the studio, no phone interview, I'm going to give you one free tip.
All right.
Usually I just tell TV and radio people what to do, but today I'll be a political consultant. Not that I know what I'm talking about, but I've criticized your press conferences here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
They're pretty tough, and nothing new about contentious dealings with the press. But when the dailies got into it, or even Rahm, there were always a few laughs. It wasn't all yelling and arguing and fighting. I think you got to have some fun with the reporters, because then it'll be entertaining. You'll come off better, you will be more effective. You hear what I'm saying here, Mr. Mayor?
You're not charging for this advice.
No, this will be absolutely free.
Good.
This will improve your messaging. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and watch, especially the old man's press conferences, Richard J. Daley, I mean, yeah, they had some tough back and forth, but there were a lot of laughs. So I think, you know, we should like write a joke or two for you. If you want some help on that, maybe I can come up with something.
Okay. I mean, look, they can't be any worse than the jokes that I've already tried. Here's the thing. Listen, those press conferences do get tough, but we do. Like, yesterday, you know, I gave a special shout out to Fran Spillman, who's a brand new grandmother. Craig Walt showed me his grandbaby on his phone. I will say this. There was a moment that I thought should have went more viral. Now that the Pope is from Chicago, it's now a cardinal sin to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Somebody just
see what I'm saying. Come on.
Somebody just texted us. Ask the mayor what his favorite hot dog stand is. We'll do that next time. Right. Mayor Johnson, I want to thank you for the visit. I hope you'll do it again. I love my city. I grew up here. I hope you are successful because if you are, we will all benefit.
Go Chicago. Go Cubs. Let's get into playoffs, guys.
There you go.